Alexandria, 88.1.
Joseph Berner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Berner.
Everywhere you go, there's strife.
Searching for that, let me say how happy I am to see Sister Maps. God bless you, Sister Maps. Amen. And others. And we also want to congratulate our own Minister Miller for being named Teacher Vernon Parish, Teacher Vernon Middle School, Teacher of the Year. Amen. Congratulations. Mark chapter 5. Verses 25 through 34. Amen. There you will find these words. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk for just a moment this morning from this subject. I've had enough. I've had enough. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, that we may know that you have all power in your hands. We thank you. We give you praise for these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've had enough. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ushers, thank you so much as you allow those to come in. God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Amen. The transitory human redemptive process happens when you get to a point where change is no longer voluntary, but mandatory. Each one of us reaches a point in our journey in life and in our journey with God where something has to change. It normally happens when you get to the point where you just can't go any further, when you have taken all you can take, when you have taken all you can stand. You make a conscious, cognizant decision that you've had enough. Jill Scott, some of you will remember, reached that decision several years ago as she told Ebony Magazine about the beau she was about to marry. she discovered that her bowl was starting to make her boohoo when she found out that he was tipping around with other sisters. She said, you know what? I can do bad all by myself. Jill Scott lost 68 pounds, came out looking like Beyonce with the little lunyah, because she had reached the point where she had had enough. We look at where people are now, but we don't really always know what they've been through to get where they are. The record is that Tyler Perry reached that point while he was living in the back seat of his car. While in the back seat of his car, he reached a point where he brushed away thoughts of suicide and decided that life was going to prosper him and that God was going to favor him, and the rest has been history. Florida Evans, some of you will remember on that sitcom Good Times. Some of y'all are too young to remember Good Times. But for those of us who grew up with Thelma and JJ and Michael and James, amen, you remember the episode where Florida is standing in the kitchen. James has just died. She threw a punch bowl on the floor, Deacon Corbin, and she screamed three words. She screamed, well, you saw it. The bottom line is she had had enough. And in one of my favorite movies, The Color Purple, Miss Seeley had had enough. Oh, y'all, I love the scene. Y'all know Mr. had been so mean to Poe Seeley. He had been so trifling, so evil, so contentious, so pugnacious. Now, I'm using these words to keep from using other words. Mr. had done horrible things to Miss Seeley, so much so that she began to adopt the mindset to believe like him that women ought to allow men to beat on them. She internalized that dysfunction so much so that she told her son Harpo, amen, to beat up Miss Sophia. But oh, there came a day when she just had enough. Y'all remember, don't you? They were sitting around the dinner table and Miss Sophia had just gotten out of jail for hitting that amen. And she decided she was gonna leave town with Miss Shug. Miss Seeley said, I'm gonna leave town with you, Miss Shug. And when Miss Shug was getting ready to leave, she had her suitcase packed, her bag was ready, she had had enough. She said, I'm leaving with Miss Shug. And Mr. started popping off at the mouth, and Miss Seeley just snapped. Y'all seen that show Snap? Miss Seeley just snapped. Amen. She snapped. That's what happens when you had enough sometimes. You don't need the moment to be right. You conclude that the moment is right, right now, right now. I'm going to show him right now. Miss Seeley reached in that ham and grabbed that butcher knife and stuck it under Mr.'s throat and said, I ain't never asked you for nothing, not even your sorry hand. Yeah, y'all know it. Amen. There comes a time in life when you just have had enough. And as I stand here on divine assignment, I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that those of you sitting here this morning are in one of two categories. The first category is those of you who've seen a change since you met Jesus. You can honestly say that he has come over you and your life has never been the same. You reached a point where you were fed up and got tired of everything, and the Lord came walking in, and when he got through with you, he gave you a new way of talking and a new way of living and a new way of loving. Is there anybody here who has ever been there at least one time? You got to the point where you had had enough. You couldn't take anymore, and God rescued you right from where you were. Amen. Now, if that's you, I want you to be my amen corner, because I really want to talk to that other group that's quiet. I'm talking about the people who are here, and you're dressed up on the outside, but messed up on the inside. I came here to tell you that God specializes in dealing with people who have had enough. That's the pain, the predicament of the woman in this text here in the gospel according to Mark. By the time we get to chapter 5 in the gospel, according to Mark, it seems as if everything is hopeless. Because in the beginning of this 5th chapter, we meet a hopeless man trapped in a cemetery who had been there for many years, cutting himself with stones. Everybody thought brother was crazy. But Jesus came through a storm just for him. Y'all don't know when to shout. I said Jesus came through a storm just for him. Can I give you something to shout about while I'm in my introduction? Even if the Lord has to come through a storm just for you, he will do it. And he might not come when you want him, but is there anybody in here that can shout because he always shows up on time? Woo. He'll come through a storm for you. Yes, he will. He's now getting ready to go and heal Jairus' daughter. But while he's on his way to healing Jairus' daughter, who the Bible lets us know she's almost dead, this woman in the text pops up out of nowhere. She doesn't have an invitation. She wasn't supposed to be here. Jesus didn't come for her. But she said, you know what? I've had enough. I've been sick for 12 years. I know they don't want me near him. I know he has his entourage with him. He's got his boys. He's got his posse with him. I know there are a bunch of folk around him, but I'm not leaving till I get my blessing. I wish there was somebody in Pleasant Hill this morning, in spite of all of the stuff that tried to keep you from coming to church. You made up in your mind that I'm going to show up over there at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street until I get my blessing. I'm going to keep showing up until I get my blessing. Is there anybody that can praise God because he's still in the blessing business? This sister has an attitude that said, I've had enough. She makes her way through the crowd, grabs Jesus by the hem of his garment. And the text doesn't say she got well the next day or the next week or the next month, but it says she got well immediately. The fountain of her blood was dried up. She knew something had happened. In fact, everybody was touching Jesus, but only one person got well that day. I've had enough. I've had enough. Y'all, that's the whole sermon. That's all I really came to say. How do you know when you've had enough? Well, I'm going to tell you, number one, you know you've had enough when you realize that if you don't do something now, it's going to kill you. Lord, if I don't fix this thing now, if I don't get help now, this thing is going to kill me. And see, some of y'all are looking, amen, because you look good, you're looking cute, and you smell good. You're thinking, amen, that ain't nothing the devil can do to kill you. But I come by to tell you, you must not know what his job is. The Bible lets us know he wants you dead. He don't just want you quiet. You know, some of y'all are at peace just being quiet. Amen, but he ain't satisfied with you being quiet. Amen, he wants you dead. And can I tell you that one of the defenses you have against him destroying you is to open your mouth and remind that low-down, dirty devil whose you are. I belong to the Most High God. And do you know one way the devil knows whose you are? When he hears you praising that name that is above every name. When he hears you pray, amen. When he hears you calling on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you ought to open your mouth and say something. I knew he wasn't my friend, the devil, when I found out he wanted me dead. Okay, you don't believe me? Then listen to Brother Peter. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay, if you won't listen to me and you won't listen to Brother Peter, then maybe you'll heed the warning of Jesus. He says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come by to tell you, the devil wants you dead. The woman in the text is nameless. And whenever there is anonymity in the text, there is inclusiveness by the right. I know that's some big words, so let me back up for those of you who didn't go to Southern. Amen. Whenever there is anonymity in the text, there is inclusiveness by the right. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that when you read the Bible, whenever you see a certain woman or a certain man, when they are left nameless, it means you can put your name in there. Oh my, oh my, oh my. She's at a point where she's got to do something or she's gonna die. She's got to make a decision that she will live no matter what's going on around her, because the enemy wants her dead. And the enemy wants to kill your joy. He wants to kill your destiny. He wants to kill your purpose. He wants to kill your future. He wants to kill your life and everything around you. But I've got good news. While he's trying to kill it, the Lord won't let him have it. I said, while the devil's trying to kill it, if you're a child of God, God won't let him have it. Come on, come on. You can't really shout until the devil has had your life in his hands and the Lord slaps him upside the head and said, put him down. Put her down. Leave him alone. Leave her alone. Is there anybody glad that you've got God on your side? Give him praise. Oh, I'm in Bible country. If God be for you, he's more than the world against you. I need about 20 of y'all real quick who know that you didn't have to be here to tell your neighbor that God made the devil give me my life back. See, everybody ain't got that testimony. Some of us have just been coasting through life, you know. Amen. From one mountain to the next, amen. Everything has been good for us and good. But there are two or three folk in here who, if they could testify right now, they would have to admit that there have been moments when they didn't know if they would live or die. There have been moments, amen, when the doctors didn't know what was wrong. There have been moments when they didn't know if they would see tomorrow. You ought to testify that God was on your side. Give him praise in this place. Not only must you realize that if you don't do something, it's going to kill you. But secondly, watch what the text reveals. The text reveals that we've got to recognize that when all is said and done, we've got to realize that our internal issues cause us external problems. What you don't realize is that the person you're seated next to has been through hell and high water. Pastor psychic? No, I ain't psychic. I just know what the Bible said. Amen. And since I've got the mic, let me tell your story. Amen. Let me tell your neighbor's story. They've been lied on. They've been talked about. They've been mistreated. Amen. I'm going to find your neighbor in just a minute. They've gone through struggle, strain, and strife. They've seen trouble, trials, tragedy, and trauma. They've been dropped by people who told them that they loved them and didn't mean it. They've been tricked by folk they thought they could trust. They've been stabbed in the back by folk they thought they were friends, and yet they're still here. Come on, survivors. Where are my survivors? Come on, give God a survival praise. I'm a survivor, baby. Some of the folk that tried to dig holes for me and dig pit, they're gone, and I'm still here giving God praise, giving praise in this place. You see, you cannot see it by looking at their face. They're dressed up on the outside, but on the inside, they've been hurt. Can I ask, is there anyone in the house who knows that you've been wounded at least one good time? Come on, come on, come on. Because see, I need a row of folk that I can talk to. Somebody who can truthfully testify that I've been wounded more times than I care to count. Yeah. This woman has an internal issue. She's unclean. She's hemorrhaging. But because it's underneath, you can't see it. It ain't visible. So from the outside, she looks all right. But on the inside, she's been bleeding a long time. Oh, I'm on somebody's roll right there. Amen. When I studied this text, it finally hit me. I finally figured out why some people are so jealous and mean. Y'all ever wonder, y'all ever meet those kind of folks? You know, just for no reason, it seems they jealous, they hate on you, you ain't done nothing to them, they lie on you and talk about you. And I just got to wondering, why is it that some people are so jealous and mean? Why they don't want to bless anybody? I stand up here and tell them, shake your neighbor's hand, and I see them looking at me talking about, I ain't shaking nobody's hand. Just come on and say what you're going to say. Go on and preach the message. I didn't come here to be shaking nobody. Can I tell you why they're like that? They're bleeding, and nobody knows it. There are people on every row who are bleeding. Money can fix it up. Degrees can polish it up. Stuff may mask it up, but on the inside, they're bleeding. And can I tell you a secret? God is letting it happen. I said, God is letting it happen. God didn't take a break. He didn't forget about you. But sometimes God allows the people that he loves to go through stuff that will make us cry sometimes, whine sometimes, and then hurt at other times. Y'all need to understand that the Bible does not teach a theology that we will go from mountain peak to mountain peak. Even if you love the Lord, you're going to have to cry sometimes. Even if you love God, you're going to hurt sometimes. You're going to go through some ups and some downs, and somebody's looking at me saying, Pastor, why would a good God let me bleed? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Why would a good God let me go through this? Why would a good God let me have to experience this? Why would a good God let folks lie on me and